This is Marco Reus.
This is Shinji Kagawa.
This is Nuri Sahin.
Hello, this is Jaden Sancho.
And you're listening to the Yellow Wall podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 478 of the Yellow Wall Pod. I'm your host, Chef Butzko, and today we will talk about Borussia Dortmund in the Champions League final. I'm here relatively soon after post-game. It's almost an emergency podcast. Matthias Zug here with me. And Matthias, I'll be honest, I don't know what this show is going to be, how it's going to look like, because quite honestly, I'm fairly speechless still. I honestly started weeping right after full time, and I've hardly recovered. How are you doing?
Oh, you know, kind of similar. You know, obviously having my kids around me grounds me a little bit because nobody needs to see their dad cry.
It's okay for men to show emotions.
No, it is, but, you know, let's save that for the final, maybe.
I don't know. It just happened.
It just happens. I mean, there were tears in my eyes for sure. For sure. It's kind of crazy. This will be the third Champions League final I get to see with Dortmund in it. And obviously there are parallels to 2013. Slight ones. Possibly very strong ones, depending on how tomorrow's match goes. But this was, yeah, it's kind of interesting. It took PSG like 60 minutes to really warm up, and then they just went full force. And of course, Dortmund defended, but man, it was great because before the match, it was like everyone's foregone conclusion that PSG is going to win today. Like, it wasn't even up for debate. If you look at German media, international media, Paramount Plus's coverage, it was, you know, how many goals is Mbappe going to score? Newsflash, not a freaking one. So
we kept two clean sheets in two semifinals. Crazy. Who does that?
Crazy. And this is it's the third time against PSG this season.
That's true.
You know? I mean, no one's done that to PSG three times in one season.
It is actually crazy that in the group stage, we drew them scoreless at home and we lost to them. And the improvement, we've talked about it, that Dortmund are a much better team than in that part, that period of the season where they faced PSG. The improvement is that they now beat them twice, 1-0, for an aggregate of 2-0. I mean, we can talk about all the luck that Dortmund had in this tie over two legs, but still, to gut this out, man.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna counteract the luck first leg narrative a little bit. That got brought up a few times today because obviously you had the shortly after halftime and that first leg, the woodwork, PSG's new favorite friend, you know, saved Dortmund, but Niklas Füllkrug had a huge opportunity to you know, go 2-0 ahead. And when you look at the XG, which a lot of people are looking at now after this second leg, the XG was the same. It was 1.7 to 1.7, you know. Dortmund just had the better striker versus that Killian guy. They Dortmund have Niklas Füllkrug and Mats Hummels, you know. I mean, it's that simple. But Dortmund, they were lucky. Obviously, those last 30 minutes, specifically like the last 15 minutes, was just pure insanity. But nevertheless, shots on target wise and versus total shots, you know, Dortmund did everything they had to do. And until the 60th minute, roughly, it was a relatively balanced match. You know, PSG came out in the second half, played with more intensity like they did in the first leg. But until that point, you know, that first half, that was completely balanced. I mean, it could have gone either way. and Dortmund, then of course it has to be Mats Hummels. I kind of wish he would have made it too, but he was so far offsides that obviously that wouldn't have counted.
Yeah, but Dortmund didn't even celebrate. It was that obvious.
No, it was that obvious. But Dortmund had plenty of opportunities in the first half as well. So, in Adeyemi was through on goal, and Donnarumma made a world-class save.
That was actually the best chance of the first half, believe it or
absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely. By far the best save, best opportunity. And then, you know, shortly after halftime, it was just before the Hummels goal, I think, PSG hit the woodwork the first time. And everyone was like, oh my God, how unlucky are they? I was like, well, okay, each side has had one big opportunity. Granted, then more came for PSG. But, you know, Dortmund won 1-0. And when Niklas Süle came in, I was like, that's a little early. That's a little early, you know, because it was 70-something minute. I was like, or 60-something. I don't even know right now. When was that? When Süle came in? I don't even know off the top of my head.
Oh, that was real soon, wasn't it? Almost, 67th minute.
67th minute, there you go.
For Sancho, nonetheless.
For Sancho, who played really, really well. And I just was like, I don't know. But that was, you could see PSG were getting through Dortmund at that point. They were getting tired. And so Tazic saying, no, we're going to make it harder for them to get through centrally and force them out wide. I mean, it worked. If we look at my favorite stat, the tell me who didn't win stat, PSG with 34 crosses, Dortmund with 5, but Dortmund with a better cross conversion rate than PSG. And PSG are not a crossing team. Now, granted, most assists for PSG come from the wings and predominantly from the Dembele-Hakimi wing. But 34 crosses in, when you've got Schlotterbeck, Hummels, Emre Can, and Niklas Süle in the middle, those are some big dudes that you have to get past. And, you know, Mbappe is one of the greatest. I don't think he's the greatest player in the world. He's not exactly good with the head. That's not what his game is. And, you know, from a striker standpoint, PSG were non-existent in this match. Dortmund did a great, great job in containing Mbappe over two legs. And, of course they had a plan B. It's PSG. They have a lot of very expensive, very good players. But apparently money can't buy you everything. Definitely can't buy a Champions League win.
Yeah, there's this meme going around with, it's like 1.8 billion euros worth of a pole out of aluminium. it is crazy that Dortmund managed to contain PSG to the extent that they did, and considering the individual or the gulf in individual quality between those two teams, because PSG certainly have a much higher talent ceiling. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But Dortmund did, and obviously excuse me if this is not going to be the best tactical breakdown ever. I'm not Abel Mesereros, who can calmly sit there and analyze a game. I'm just at the edge of my seat watching this game like any other fan. But overall, I think that Dortmund did relatively well to execute a similar plan as they did in the first leg. And that came obviously down to, once again, Adeyemi and Sancho really trying hard on defense and doubling. Not only Mbappe, but also not really giving the Hakimis and Dembeles on the world, who also play a lot on the wing, who try to enter the box from the side stripe quite a lot, to not really allow that. And I think Ian Maatsen had an amazing game. This time he did not get booked at all. And obviously Riasson on the other side, who played through cramps, and everyone knows how painful that is. I mean, just the performance of these fullbacks to force PSG to have these in a lot of ways desperation crosses, as you just mentioned. What was it, 35-36?
34-5.
Yeah. And for Hummels and Schlotterbeck, there were just a lot of balls they could just then deflect out, or better yet, play out of. And I mean, one of the like the best chances that Dortmund had in the Adeyemi chance was obviously not from a cross, but from a clearance from Hummels, probably maybe even the play of the game besides the goal, to poke the ball away from Mbappé, and that then very quickly turned into a counterattack with Brandt feeding it to Adeyemi, who then just you know, bolted and, as you said, forced a world-class save out of Donnarumma. And yeah, Adeyemi had a very cheeky and wry smile in that situation, because I think he knew that this was probably a really good chance to pre-decide this tie, as we like to say in German. But honestly, I felt more comfortable with Dortmund scoring in the second half as a psychological blow than in the first half, where then PSG, you know, had another locker room moment to really rally the troops. Matthias, I don't know how you felt about the sort of the momentum swing. I felt a little bit that it, I don't know if it coincided or was also caused by Reus replacing Adeyemi, because I felt that Reus did not have the same speed, let's say, and I don't want to say work rate, because Marco Reus obviously didn't leave himself hanging, but obviously I thought there was Ian Maatsen in that position way more isolated, and he did not cover as much ground as Adeyemi. I don't know if you put Malen on there in this situation, but either way, to me it felt like Marco Reus could not quite continue the defensive prowess that Adeyemi showed for the first, what was it, 55 minutes or so?
Yeah, I agree. For me, Reus is the, at this point in his career, the more natural sub for Julian Brandt, mm-hmm. in that central role. You know, if you're going to take Adeyemi off, I would have preferred to have seen Mayen or Bino Gittens.
Just probably because, mine.
Yeah, because of the pace. And then obviously later you could have taken Sancho off and then, you know, brought on Mecha or Reus in a central position as well, and then just, you know, put Füllkrug and Malen up top, because here's the issue that I had with the subs. Now, granted, I can see why Terzic did it, because when he brought out Süle for Sancho, Dortmund were really rocking at that point, again and again and again, and he wanted to solidify centrally, and they did it brilliantly. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They forced PSG out wide. They forced them to long-range efforts, some very good long-range efforts, but, you know, that's the opportunity you're just going to have to take. You know, it's like, okay, we'll seed you the 20, 30-meter shot. If you shoot a world-class goal from that distance, good on you. But we're taking away the higher opportunity chances and forcing you out wide to cross it into our big guys. But the problem is, with those early changes, PSG didn't have to check themselves. Dortmund, they weren't kept honest anymore. In that first half, again and again and again, Dortmund were able to clear to Füllkrug, who could hold the ball, for Sabitzer, Brandt, Adeyemi, Sancho running on, and that kept PSG honest. And after, yeah, right when Reus came on and you saw the shift to a little bit more defensive, especially around the 60th minute, PSG didn't... they weren't kept honest in that to that degree. They weren't afraid anymore, because obviously Adeyemi and Reus are totally different pace-wise. But, you know, Reus, 6 years ago, Reus, sure, no question. 34-year-old Reus, no. You know, he's more in the center for those quick, let's call it tiki-taka-type passing exchanges to unlock a defense, kind of like Julian Brandt does. And so that was a bit of a head scratcher, especially given how well Malen played on the weekend. I felt like he should have played today, because he really could have made them pay. I mean, really could have made them pay, because there were a couple of times where Füllkrug could break, but it's Niklas Füllkrug. He's not that fast. And then nobody broke with him. And if you would have had a mile still on the pitch at that point, 100%. You know, because one thing Füllkrug is pretty good at is ball distribution. And he just had no outlet. And that was a bit pain. Bring on Mecha for Brandt in the 85th minute. I have no issue with that, because at that point, you're just like, all right, we just got to hold on for like 10 more minutes and they have to score twice. So that one's totally fine.
I was waiting for PSG to pull one back and, someone pick it out of the net and, stick the ball in the middle of the center circle, and there would be like another, I don't know, be it 4 minutes, 5 minutes of another barrage of PSG. But the goal just never came. I mean, they hit the post plenty of times and the crossbar and the woodwork. But
the only shot that hit the frame that was really dangerous was the Vitinha shot. That was really one where I'm like, that was dipping in and just clipped the bar in a way that it didn't go in off the bar. A few of the other ones were at distance on the edge of the bar, edge of the post on the outside.
And the Kubica save.
Yeah. Those were the two really high chances, I would say. And the Vitinha one I'm fine with, because it was from distance and it would have been a world-class goal. Sometimes you just concede those. I mean, Füllkrug's goal against PSG, that was a world-class goal. And I would have ranked that one in there. But alas, for PSG, it did not come to fruition. And I am quite pleased with that.
Yeah. Well, Matthias, since this is the first podcast, since obviously Marco Reus announces his retirement, we obviously need to talk about this a little bit in the context of Dortmund making the Champions League final. Because I'll be honest with you, emotionally going into this Champions League semi-final beforehand, I was like, okay, if they obviously make the Champions League final, that is great. But first of all, my belief wasn't sky high, since, Dortmund are not the favorites and, a 1-0 lead is very slim. I was at this point just happy they won the final home match of the Champions League campaign, and I was just happy that Dortmund had a good run and would not bow out by embarrassing themselves as they've done so many times in the past. I was already happy, but all of a sudden Marco Reus comes out making the decision that he will leave the club at the end of the season, because it was a mutual agreement for them to not extend the contract. Obviously, we can get into the weeds of this in another show and what Marco Reus overall means for Borussia Dortmund, because he is a living legend. But just emotionally, that just flicked the switch from, oh yeah, nice Champions League run, to, oh fuck, we actually have to win this now. And I don't know how you processed this, but to me it felt like, holy shit, there is so much more at stake now, because Dortmund obviously have to win the Champions League now, as Marco Reus, very clearly said in the goodbye video, whatever that was, his announcement video, that he wants to win the Champions League. And yeah, I don't know how it changed anything for you, but for me it changed things tremendously, because seeing Marco Reus off with the Champions League trophy in his hand, obviously would be a story that he so much deserves.
Well, I agree. I mean, you think about it, his time at Dortmund, he came to Dortmund the season after the double win. In his first season, he went to a Champions League final. He then lost in a few DFB Pokal finals. He's won two cups. He missed the World Cup winning Germany squad because of injury just before the tournament. And last season came within a goal of winning the Bundesliga. It's like there are so many, just so close that I can't think of anybody more fitting, you know, to win the Champions League for than Marco Reus. And I'll be honest, I wouldn't be shocked that if against all expectations Borussia Dortmund win the Champions League, that Mats Hummels may be like, yeah, I think I'm going to end my career now. Because, like, you've done it. You did it. And with Marco Reus, knowing beforehand, and then given how well he played against Augsburg, it's really incredible when you think about it. And, you know, when Dortmund made the final in 2013, I wouldn't say they were a favorite to make the final, but that was, you know, the Jürgen Klopp side that just won the double. It was peak Dortmund under Klopp right then. In 97, it was a very special side, but they had to overcome a lot. And even against Juve, nobody thought they could do it. This team, this coach, underestimated all season long and underestimated in the semifinal. They're going to be underestimated in the final. And I think, honestly, they are okay with that. They are totally fine with that. And there will be no expectation for them to win on the 1st of June. And I think that's totally fine by their standards, because when the pressure is super high, when all expectations are going to win, the last few seasons, it just hasn't happened. I mean, the Mainz match in the end of last season is probably the best example. But when nobody expected anything from them, they won a DFB Pokal. They almost knocked Manchester City out of the Champions League in a quarterfinal, where I'm still mesmerized by some goals given, some goals not given. And nobody expected them to make it to the semifinal, let alone the final. So these, honestly, it's playing to their psychological strengths right now.
It absolutely is. And if we talk about Marco Reus, obviously you just talked about Mats Hummels. He has two Man of the Match trophies in his hands from the first and the second leg of the semi-final. An absolutely imperious defender. I don't think I will ever forget his sliding tackle at the halfway line against Kylian Mbappé. Just an amazing player and a Dortmund legend in his own right. And the way he has commanded this team in defense, I don't really think he really put a foot wrong. There was a worry that he might have had to leave the field with a concussion, and maybe because he was knocked out from, who was his Mendes? Or someone's cross? Forgot who it was, but either way, a masterful player, probably one of the best center backs ever. I will just go this far because he's such a great defender, but also so graceful, so amazing to watch. And obviously scoring the header today to really put the cherry on top of the semi-final performance. And when we really talk about chances in this game, I have not checked the XG values, but at least to me, that header probably was still the best chance anyone created. And it is nice that the set piece curse once does not hit Dortmund, but it hit PSG. Dortmund were very close to conceding from a few corner kicks in this game, especially in the second and third phase of the game. But nevertheless, Mats Hummels to be the hero of tonight is very fitting. And it feels like that he is one of the main characters that is willing this team to Wembley. And that is exactly what has happened now. And I could not be more prouder of this team and how they've prevailed through all of this adversity. And, you know, even PSV at some point felt a little nervy, and I wasn't quite sure if Dortmund were going to make it past them. Atletico, the second leg, the home leg, was probably one of the most emotional and joyful nights of the last couple of years. And now we can talk about Wembley. I have not even checked the dates. I have no idea when the Champions League final is.
First of June. The reason why I know that is because on the 2nd of June, I have to travel for work. And I'm like, when is the final? I'm like, oh, 1st of June. Okay, thank God, I'll be home.
Well, thanks for checking, Matthias. Also, I think we need to give Edin Terzic his flowers because he is a tournament coach, let's say. Maybe not a league coach, but he is a tournament coach. Although he was, as you said, one goal away from winning the Bundesliga itself. But what he put together there, also a really, really special team. Dortmund tactically were disciplined, were fighting for each other. And I think this is the special something you need to eke out performances like this. Certainly has to do with how the coach motivates the team, because twice now Dortmund outran PSG by 10 kilometers or something along those lines. And the way Dortmund doubled on the wings, how they really shut down the opponent and were very disciplined defensively, I think deserves major credit, because Dortmund never looked like they were panicking throughout this tie. They looked like they knew what they were doing the entire time, and that's obviously not the Borussia Dortmund you're used to watching the Bundesliga. Matthias, what do you think Edin Terzic has done so well in the Champions League to get this team into the Champions League final?
Well, he's pulled off some fantastic single match plans, especially at home, and this time also away from home. Think about it, PSV and Atleti, you know, the second matches were significantly better than the first ones. So what you can go by that is overall, he learns his lessons. And I think that is something you really have to rate very highly, that he does do his homework. He looks at the mistakes that were made and changes it and revises it. I mean, like you mentioned, the way Dortmund doubled up on the wings, and given that the overwhelming majority of assists for PSG this season have come from the wings, which is really interesting for me, that Luis Enrique and his side were, at the end of the day, I'm not going to say easy to, and not even shut down, but counteract their strengths. And then they were left floating a little bit in many aspects. Like, they didn't really challenge Dortmund centrally. And when Dortmund brought on Süle and really compacted that central space, where PSG had to go through five people centrally and then doubled up on the wings, you know, the answer was pretty quickly, Enrique sent Dembele and Mbappe floating. They were roaming the entire second half. They were never stuck on one position because he recognized what Dortmund were doing. But Dortmund didn't let that pull them out of position, which you have to credit Terzic. That is tactical discipline that you instill in your team. It's like, no, this is what we're going to do. This is the box we're going to keep them in. Do not let those two players draw you out of position. And for the most part, that didn't happen. You know, they stuck to their guns and they shut them down in a way that I didn't think would happen over two legs against Kylian Mbappe, to more or less neutralize him. Was quite remarkable, and that's down to coaching. That is down to coaching, tactical discipline, making sure your players understand the discipline, because in the first half of the season, that tactical discipline wasn't always there. Now, that being said, in the Champions League group stages, aside from the very first match against PSG, Dortmund has played well and tactically disciplined in most matches. Atletico, the first 20-30 minutes, and especially the first half overall, Dortmund were kind of all over the place, but then they gained control. PSV, they kind of got through that first match, and then they gained control. And yeah, I mean, I've been critical of Terzic this season because of the Bundesliga performances and the inconsistencies there. But you have to say they learned their lessons. Look, even in the Bundesliga, their matches against Bayern, Stuttgart, and Leverkusen in the second half of the season, and how vast of an improvement that was over their matches against them in the first half of the season. Leipzig, that was a nightmare. I don't know what happened there. And
I tell you what happened there. There was a Champions League semifinal.
Yeah, and I think Terzic didn't really know what happened there either. I mean, you could tell that he was angry. Like, he was angry, legit angry.
I know for sure that this was caused because Dortmund were too focused on the Champions League semifinal. If there was a regular game without the implication of a semifinal coming a few days later, that is superhuman. We've seen it from sports teams all the time, that if they have a big match coming up, that the game in between, they are just not focused enough. And that's, to me, what happened against Leipzig. Now, obviously, Leipzig also managed to really, match up well with Dortmund and utilize their pace and everything. But PSG also have a lot of pace up front. So
yeah, they're not bad. I've heard they're pretty good.
Yeah. But
Somebody told me.
I don't even want to really talk about this Leipzig game. But
no, of course. It was just an example. It's just an example of, we were talking about Terzic and that he's learning his lessons. And he's still an inexperienced coach. We can't forget that. This is now 2.5 seasons. He's been a first team senior men's coach. Okay, 2.5 seasons with a whole season in between that first half where he won the DFB Pokal, made it the Champions League quarterfinal,
and a lot of COVID season of that,
and brought Dortmund to fourth place as well. And so, yeah, I mean, I still see the issues there, but man, part of me is like, not even a part of me, a big part of me is sitting here going, God, imagine if Dortmund could just upgrade certain key positions a bit for him. I'd really love to see what could happen.
I mean, if you look at the second leg against Atletico, even the first leg, Dortmund played some wonderful football during that time too. You know, it's not all bad, it's not all good. The tactical development, obviously, especially in possession, needs to improve quite a bit, but as for today, I don't really care. But what I do care about, when we talk about tactical discipline, one important stat I think is also that Dortmund committed 6 fouls, because if you manage to win a lot of tackles without fouling, as Dortmund did in this game, especially in the period before Dortmund scored, that really had Dortmund to impose themselves and have control. Obviously, PSG eventually really brought on everything they had through the kitchen sink, but I still think until the 60th minute, Dortmund were relatively even in this game, and in these, I don't know, what was it, maybe 135, 140 minutes, Dortmund were not completely outclassed. I mean, at the end, the XG looks like it was a giant gap, but I think until PSG got really desperate, Dortmund did well. And obviously, once you score the goal, you know, obviously you do poke the bear and these things happen, but still, I will not forget how much in control Dortmund were and how many times they found really good solutions when they had possession, even when they were attacking and then stepping on the balls, recycling possession. I think in Champions League, this is very important that you don't try to run every time you gain possession, try to counterattack and then instantly lose it. Sometimes it is actually clever to run to the opponent's box and then try to push the opponent deep into their own half and then go from there as you find another pocket. And obviously, Dortmund were maybe not as imposing with Jadon Sancho in this game because he didn't have as many successful take-ons as in the first leg, where he was a much bigger menace. But nevertheless, we still had these moments where Sancho was 1v1 against players, and these are the matchups you want to see. And Dortmund came close a couple of times. Even Julian Brandt, I think, had a really good chance in the box where he showed his individual skill. So obviously we talk a lot about how good PSG are, and you know, obviously they have world-class stars in there, but it's not like that Dortmund are complete slouches. I think individually, especially with Sancho, Brandt, and you know, you can add Malen in there, Dortmund have some really unique talent as well. And this Champions League tie against PSG overall, I think, was pretty fun to watch, because in the end it feels like Dortmund parked the bus a lot, but I think overall it wasn't that, because I think it was two heavyweights punching each other quite a bit, and I think Dortmund did quite well, especially in the first half until the 60th minute, to not just sit around their own goal and defend, but to actually attack PSG and play a positive brand of football, which obviously turned more and more negative as the game went on. But I think that is the biggest change between the first time Dortmund played in Paris this season and the second time, where the first time the approach was pretty much what Dortmund did for the final 20 minutes of this tie. So when we talk about development and what Dortmund did well in this game, I think this needs to be praised. And the individual skill that Dortmund have, I think, gives them a fighting chance against either Bayern Munich or Real Madrid in the Champions League final, at least enough to have people dream, where it's not an entirely underdog story. I don't know how you think and feel about it. I don't know who you want to play against in the Champions League final. At this point, I don't really care. I don't really want to think about it, but I think as a podcast host, it is still my duty to ask you this question.
Of course, it's Bayern. 100% Bayern. You know, it's Real Madrid are really hot. And so I would rather not face Jude Bellingham in the Champions League final. I want to take on a Bayern side that is such a deep head case right now that it doesn't really know what it is as a team. And yeah, certain players will rise to the occasion, but all the pressure of the world will be on them if they make it to the final. I mean, granted, it will be with Real Madrid as well. Anyone, I mean, either one of them will be favored.
Do you think that pressure got to PSG today, by the way?
I think to a degree. Well, yeah, I mean, 34 crosses. Yeah, no, I mean, it was desperation time. It was desperation. They were desperate. And most of those crosses were very, very bad. Very bad. They were easy to take. There was nobody even there. I don't even know who they were crossing to. Ramos? I mean, he was non-existent. And I would rather take on Bayern for one, the reason that I talked about as far as a head case and so on, and to honestly exercise the demon of 2013 and the non-sending off of Dante, which should have been a sending off. I will take that to the grave. And that's what it is. I want them to take on Bayern in the Champions League final and beat them. I mean, granted, beating Real Madrid would be kind of cool too. Beating anyone in the Champions League final would be really good.
I was going to say, if you win it, you don't really care against whom.
But, well, I do. You know, Bayern would just be the thing. That would be the one to do. And it's not in Dortmund. It's not in Munich. It's in Wembley. It's on neutral ground. It's on a ground where Harry Kane and Eric Dier have yet to ever prove to win jack shit. And I say that lovingly as a Tottenham supporter. through gritted teeth, having Eric Dier and Harry Kane lose a Champions League final in London would be kind of funny. I can say that now with through gritted teeth. But it would just, that would be the one I want. You know, if I look at matchups, if I look at form runs and stuff like that, they're the head case. And I think if Bayern are vulnerable, this is when they're vulnerable right now. I mean, Stuttgart proved that. Dortmund proved that. You know, in the second half of the season, pretty much everyone's proven that against Bayern, except maybe Darmstadt. And so, I mean, we'll see. Granted, they played okay against Real Madrid. It was 2-2. The good thing is Bayern do not have good central defenders who love screwing things up. So that would be the one I'd want for so many narrative reasons. But as you said, at the end of the day, Dortmund is in the Champions League final, and you take who you get. Because I remember 1997 against Juve, who were arguably the greatest team on planet Earth at that time. You know, I mean, there were some unbelievable players in that side. If you think of Del Piero, Zidane, Pavel Nedved. I mean, that was the team on the planet, and Dortmund beat them 3-1.
I mean, the same was said about Liverpool in 1966 when Dortmund beat them in the European Cup Winners' Cup.
Yep.
In Hampden Park in Glasgow.
Yes. So, you know, Dortmund are used to being underdogs in these types of, on these types of stages. And, you know, 2013, they were also the underdog. They almost got it. They almost pulled it off. And hopefully this time they will pull it off.
Yeah. I cannot wait to go back on the internet, Matthias, and read and listen to all the interviews and rewatch the game.
Philippe Auclair, who's on the Totally Football show and is obviously the France pundit for them, for The Athletic, and a PSG fan. I am really looking forward to hearing him on the Totally Football show this week, especially because I guarantee you they're going to put him on the same broadcast as Honigstein. And hearing both of them eat a little bit of crow would be kind of interesting. And then beyond that, yeah, just reading the press clippings out of Paris will be very, very interesting. And I have to say, I've grown very fond of France over the last couple of years. I've spent a lot of time there for work and toured the country a lot. And have really grown an affection for France, which I know as an American and a German, I'm not supposed to say.
I know my wife and I have been to Paris this year too on vacation. As I said, it's a lovely city.
Now, Paris is the one outlier for me because that really lives up to the rude French people stereotype a lot.
I don't know. No one was rude to me. Everyone was very nice. So I don't have the same experience.
But when you compare it to places like Normandy or the Loire Valley or around Saint-Étienne and Lyon, it's totally different. I mean, it's like night and day. So, you know, and I also have to say the PSG fans, let's leave PSG and the Qatari money and all that crap out of it. The PSG fans actually, a lot of respect. They did really, really well. I was confused with the BVB logo TIFO that was shown.
Was it from Dortmund fans or was it from PSG fans?
I think it was from Paris fans because the Dortmund fans were on the other side. So I think those were Parisians.
Was it supposed to sever the Dortmund logo?
I don't know.
That's what it looked like to me.
It looked like it, but it didn't really come off. I didn't see it that way. So if that was their intention, they obviously failed, as their team did over, you know, 180 minutes. Actually, over 270 minutes to score against Dortmund. So anyway, but no, the Paris fans actually behaved really, really well over two legs. So that's always fantastic to see, especially in since that's not always the case in this sport, unfortunately.
Yeah. Matthias, I'm still in disbelief that Dortmund managed to weather the storm and that... I mean, so much luck involved, obviously, with PSG hitting the post, but also, I don't know. I also want to say this is undeserved because I think over the two legs they played amazing, and you know, the errors they committed in the first two games, you know, in the first 20 minutes or so against Atletico, Dortmund this time didn't show, or in the second leg where Hummels scored an own goal, and I think the other one was more or less a bit of a giveaway as well. The fact that Dortmund managed to shut all these mistakes off and play as pretty much as well as they can to peak at this time of the season makes me extremely happy. And to see, you know, just after full time, the entire team run to the fans, what a special moment that is. That is just that's just beautiful, and I'm just so elated for all the players and obviously for Marco Reus to just celebrate, because making the Champions League final, you celebrate that achievement already pretty hard, even though you technically haven't won anything. But I remember when it was the full time in the Bernabeu and it was clear that Dortmund would make the Champions League final in 2013. Also a very emotional night and a massive party. And I'm a little sad I'm not in Dortmund right now, because I know I would be somewhere in the city center or around the stadium and be celebrating with my friends. But nevertheless, Matthias, I'm very glad I get to celebrate this with you, because this is also our, 11th season? I mean, the podcast started with Marco Reus starting pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, it was after the double winning season, so it was the 2012-2013 season. We're now in 2023-2024 season. It'll hopefully this season on the Yellow Wall Pod will end with more joy in Wembley than that first season did.
After yesteryear's disappointment, I think we are owed one.
Yeah, no kidding.
The football gods are smiling upon us tonight. There are no guarantees for June 1st.
No. And it was also special for me to watch the match today with my kids. Last time Dortmund were in a Champions League final, my daughter was 4 months old. She is now 11. So, and we've added another one in the meantime. So it's nice.
It is nice. All right, Matthias, I will now have to go back to my normal life and go grocery shopping. And I'm already sick. I've not heard it once, but I'm already sick of the London Calling song.
That and football's coming home.
Yeah.
You know, those are, yeah.
I'm going to have to hear that 8 million times, but thank you so much for hopping on short notice. It was either a podcast sometime in 3 weeks where we declared the season over, because I feel like had Dortmund lost today, obviously it was still about sending Marco Reus off against Darmstadt and all that, but no games left that would have mattered, and now we have a Champions League final to talk about and preview. Oh boy. So yeah, thank you everyone for tuning in, and Matthias, I think you have the honor of having the final words, if you have any, because I'm out.
To quote Joey from Friends, London, baby.